The text for our sermon this morning is a gospel reading just read, the one where folks bring to Jesus the news of the Galileans, and also the parable of the fig tree. And also, too, St. Paul warns the Corinthians to not put Christ to the test, there in verse 9. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today, our texts teach us that Christ is a place of refuge and mercy, despite our sin and our lack of fruit. To use the gospel reading, the language of the gospel reading with the parable of the fig tree, that Christ, who did his work upon a tree, produced fruits of righteousness for us, for those of us who see our shortage of fruit. For us, God gives us mercy in Christ. News coverage of the war in the Ukraine has been nonstop. Dubbed the first war during the social media age, when everyone, it seems, in Russia and even in the war zone has cell phones, we might even wonder if there are other wars being raged across the globe that we don't even know about. And, well, the answer to that is yes. There have even been some wars going on for years that we have managed to go along without having any idea that they're happening. But the managers of our social media feeds, our television stations, they're all too ready to put before our eyes a constant stream of tragedy right before our eyes. And like a train wreck, very few of us can even look away. You know the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. And that has been true even before social media, which has been mass-produced and is in everyone's pocket. The big question, and even the question is floating around now, is who's to blame for all these atrocities? It's a good question and one that we should investigate. But rarely in the beginning stages of a conflict is there a clear answer. In fact, this is probably the cause of most wars. Is there's no simple solution to difficult problems. But as Christians, we know that even the worst wars, even the greatest disagreements in the history of humanity, can be fixed by one simple thing: repentance. And that goes for your own lives as well. Repentance and faith in Christ. A willingness to swallow our pride, to confess to Christ, and to confess to one another. This can put out the greatest wars and forest fires that have ever been in the history of humanity. But our stubborn hearts. Today, Jesus is a news commentator. He reports on where to find safety. He reports on where to find safe ground, even in the face of our own death, that God's mercy in Christ. This is the weapon that God uses in humanity's war against Him. Today, we get Jesus' take. We get His hot opinion. We get His judgment. We get His response for a news story. The top of the headlines, what everyone's talking about. They came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, did you hear about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices? Jesus knows about this political story. He speaks about it to the people gathered around Him. Doesn't get more political nor religious than this story. Apparently, the Roman government had found reason to go into a Jewish gathering during Passover as they're offering their lambs for sacrifice, and the soldiers slaughtered the people. The government forced its way into the house of God and claimed, "You think your God is superior to us? You think your God can save you? We'll prove you wrong. Can your God save you now?" It would be equivalent to our government coming in while we're celebrating the sacrament and murdering every single person as they are drinking the blood of Christ. That's how offensive this was. So the people who came to offer their sacrifices, they themselves became the innocent victims. Reporting this newsworthy story to Jesus, the people gathered around, they were probably anticipating Jesus' response. They probably expected Jesus to say, "Yep, those Roman soldiers, how wicked and debased they are. How foolish the government is to rebel against God's people. How unwise to speak about maybe how, yes, you Jews who are slaughtered, you see your people have been murdered. Oh, but I tell you, you will be in places of power soon. You will have your ways. You will be able to establish peace and enjoy this world and all of its riches." Perhaps that's why they were bringing Jesus' attention to this. "Jesus, tell us who's in the wrong so we can all point fingers. Jesus, tell us who it is that we can blame." 24-hour news cycle. Investigative journalism. Jesus takes, we call it news, but really what it is gossip on a giant scale. Jesus takes the mass gossip, the news of the day, and He says, "Don't worry about whose fault it is. How about you?" Jesus doesn't play into the people's questioning of Him to find out who's in fault when a tragedy takes place. Jesus, He lifts up the mirror and He says to them, "Consider how quickly and out of the blue these people lost their lives. How about you?" And in a way, our human nature, we love to be told who's to blame in a time of tragedy? In a time of disagreement, we love to hear, "God, just show us who's in the wrong." I don't think it's too far off course to say the reason we want to know who to blame, because if we can find someone to blame, that, well, one, it keeps us from examining our own lives, our own personal lives. And two, it makes us think we're absolved of any wrongdoing in a situation. If we can be focused on an enemy besides the one we see in the mirror, then there's no need to worry. Eat, drink, and be merry. If we can be distracted enough in pointing out who the bad guys really are, then we can become complacent. We can become comfortable with our spiritual condition. But notice what Jesus zooms in on. Notice how Jesus peels back the layers and He gets to the real problem. Your very own death. When you die, unexpectedly or expectedly, we work and we work and we prepare ourselves. We save, we examine for retirement. How much thought to eternal life? How much planning and lining up a plan in regards to eternal life? Oh, I can wait. There's always another day. There's always tomorrow. There's always next Sunday. Jesus says, no. You never know when that day might be. It might even be tonight. We weigh and we plan our scheduled activities. We make use the best we can of the time we have, but it's not for the purpose of glorifying God. So often it's so we can glorify ourselves. So often it's so we can seize the day, glorify the moment. We train ourselves, we exercise, we follow diets, we take the advice of our doctors. So what about training in the Word of God? Before a nation goes off to war, they prepare themselves. Before a soldier goes to the battle lines, he makes sure his affairs are in good order. How is it that you prepare to stand before God to give an account for the life He's given you? Producing fruits of the faith. This is why Jesus mentions and brings up that He speaks of the parable. Jesus brings what's going to be the news in the headlines. Not literally the news, but for Christians, for each and every day we should die. We should die in repentance and be raised and be reminded of our promise in baptism. And that's why Jesus then teaches from a parable. Jesus says, how about this news story? Look, for 3 years now, He says in the parable, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this tree and I find none. Cut it down, says the vineyard owner. Why should it use up the ground? And the vine dresser answers back and says, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. We need to know a few things about planting vineyards and fig trees before this parable can really teach us what God wants us to know. When a fig tree is first planted, it was not expected to produce fruit for 3 years. The fourth year is where we find ourselves in the parable. The fourth year is when the farmer comes looking for fruit. So we are even beyond the fourth year if you've paid attention to the language. We actually find our tree is 6 years old. It's 3 years beyond the time when the farmer should have cut it down. That's the point of this parable, is that God is patient beyond our expectations. God is merciful past any time frame we would even consider a good investment. This fig tree has been given multiple years, twofold, to produce fruit. 6 years. This tree was costing the vineyard owner precious real estate. He could have had two crops by the time he came to the fig tree in our parable. And yet the farmer, God, He's merciful. And that is the lead story today. The mercy of God in Christ Jesus. The unexpected news headline that catches us off course. We expect complete and total destruction. But the mercy of God in Christ Jesus is that He's not like us. He's not like the tyrants of the world who use war and death to get their way. Because if we're honest, it's really not news to us that we're the withering fig tree. If we did some investigative journalism on ourselves, the truth is we probably haven't found much fruit, if we're honest. You want to be fair and balanced. How does your good fruit weigh against your sins? Can you claim a righteousness before God that outweighs your evil thoughts? Maybe you find it easier to run down the news stories of the day than to search God's Word for what truly matters? Are you more conversant with others about our overreaching government than being willing to share the gospel? We Christians, we get sucked into it just like anybody else. We know the political scandals. We know the names of those involved. We know the names of our enemies. We should be so intrigued by those who live next door to us. Those who live on our streets and in our neighborhoods, and those even here in our own congregation. Not for reasons of gossip, though, not to report on the juicy details, but so that we can help one another, so that we can lift each other up. We invite news commentators into our homes on a regular basis. What about each other? Why does Jesus speak in this parable? Because He wants to give commentary on the mercy of God. He wants to tell us that there is hope, and that He is that very hope. That when the owner of the vineyard comes investigating the tree, what does the vine dresser, Christ, say to the owner? Christ speaks on our behalf. He says, "Leave it alone." But you know, the Greek is even more picturesque. The Greek is even more faithful in its word. It doesn't just say, "Leave it alone." The word, the Greek word that Jesus uses for the response of the vine dresser is, "Forgive it completely. Let it start again, dear Father." As if it had not been empty, as if the leaves were not bare, forgive the tree. And the vineyard owner does. But we are not to put this vineyard owner to the test. We must not take the days nor time for granted. We must not be complacent in our lives. And as Christians, that's very easy to do. We can become distracted by all the, even the big, shiny fruit, right? The walk of the Christian producing fruits of good works. We can think we need to produce big, flashy fruit that the world will see, but really God is glorified in sometimes that fruit that's hidden behind the leaves. That fruit that not everybody sees. The humble fruit. So we must not be tempted in that regard to think we have to have a big display that everyone sees. Many times it's the vocations, the simple vocations in our lives. Being faithful in our place of employment. Serving our families and our neighbors. You don't have to go across the world to find someone who needs to hear the gospel. Most of the time it's across the street. Across the pew. Christianity, it's not easy. It's not because we're saved by our fruits, but because our sin is constantly eating away our fruits of repentance. So often Christianity is difficult because we stop looking at the fruit of Christ. We stop fixing our eyes on Jesus, and we fix our eyes on ourselves or the world that's falling apart around us. Our sins, really every day, are it is the lead story, but greater than your sins is the mercy of this vineyard owner and this vine dresser. Greater is the love and mercy of God than all of our sins. And what does He feed you? He gives you forgiveness. He gives you life. The blood of Jesus cries out to God, "Father, forgive them." The Heavenly Father, He sent Jesus not just to give us good fruit, but to also remind us that Jesus is the vine and He grafts us into Him, the one who produces the fruit the Father loves. And this same Jesus Christ works through us to live in us by faith, to be planted in you by baptism, to give you the assurance that we will produce fruit. In John, Jesus says, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." How does Christ remain in us? By his word. By literally receiving the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, he dwells in you for all the empty fruit you've produced. For all the sinful laziness that you've tasted of, for all the fruit of the devil that you've eaten, Christ says, "I forgive you." Instead of cutting us down, the owner allows us to remain only because of the work of the vine dresser. It is Jesus and His work, His labor, that saves you. And that labor of dying on the tree that spares us the cutting we deserve. The vine dresser says, "Okay, folks, here's the report. Here's the headline. Put the blame on me. You can blame me for every sin, and I will tend to it." Jesus takes the blame for all of our shallow repentance, for all of our fake love. He takes the blame for your sin, even the sin of being lazy. Even the sin of thinking there are more important things in this life, or that God is really making life difficult on me because He doesn't love me. Yes, the cross is heavy. It stinks. It's like manure. But it is indeed that which teaches us. That which teaches us to run to the cross of Christ. Yes, God in Christ Jesus takes the blame for our sins that we would be His people. Not looking for others to blame, but to stand before God and say, "I have no fruit. Me alone, I alone am the one to blame. I, a poor, miserable tree." This is the fruit the Father's looking for. This is the fruit of faith. This is the beginning of wisdom. For those who by faith claim no righteousness before God, no righteousness of their own apart from Christ, this is the fruit. The labor and the work of Christ Jesus, His death being the very manure that establishes your place in the vineyard, His life given for you, His fruit given for you to give you life. Only don't go looking for fruit in other places. Don't go looking for the fruits of the world. Those bring destruction, war, and death. Look to Christ. Tragedy above all tragedies. The innocent Son of God, He's cut down so we may remain in the vineyard, so that we may grow. This tragedy, this greatest and worst news story to ever happen, perhaps only surpassed by the tragedy of the very ones He died for refusing to repent. This is the true good news. This is the news you should have replaying over and over again in your homes, not on a screen, but face to face with the ones you love. This is the true good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins. What a story! What a wonderful proclamation to discuss with others. To tell them, even in a time of war, even in a time when we're surrounded by death, there is hope that can't be taken away. What a story. Not just on Sunday, but 24 hours a day. What a news cycle that is. A cycle of repentance, a cycle of forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit growing fruit in our lives. You may not always see it, but it is there. Your Heavenly Father in heaven, He sees the work of Jesus through you, and He promises to always be with us. May that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.